The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers Podcast joins you on a Monday in which the Milwaukee Brewers are your first place team in the National League Central, a game and a half ahead of the Chicago Cubs entering the first full week of June. The Cubs were getting swept in St. Louis this weekend, the Brewers winning 3 out of 4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They also split with the white-hot Minnesota Twins this week, so a good week of baseball for the Brewers, and they are now sitting atop the perch in the National League Central, defending NL Central champs in 2018, and a pretty crazy week ahead, and a big milestone coming up on Wednesday. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers Podcast. This June, make it a $300,000 summer cash splash at Pottawatomie. Play with your club card June 1st through 26th each Wednesday. 40 guests will win slot play and cash prizes up to $5,000. Visit paysbig.com/cash splash for details. I'm going to be joined here in mere moments by Todd Rosiak, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're going to chat about the return of Jimmy Nelson, the long-awaited return of the 2017 ace of the Milwaukee Brewers starting pitching staff. He, of course, had the shoulder injury suffered in September of 2017. It has been an arduous 18 months back with rehab, with surgery. It wasn't clear if he was going to pitch in some capacity all through 2018 till it finally became clear that wasn't going to happen. Wasn't clear if he was going to start the year this year in 2019 with the team. In addition to the injury, he's had personal stuff with the birth of his twin daughters, his first children, who had some medical issues that had to be attended to. So it has been a crazy journey for Jimmy Nelson. He finally gets healthy. The club doesn't elect to bring him up right away. Options him back to AAA San Antonio, and now he's finally going to get his crack to return to that Miller Park mound on Wednesday. That's going to be an emotional night. A lot of people will be excited for him, and he's going to be pumped up to be back on that mound. It's going to be fascinating to see what he brings to the table this year. After we talk to Todd Rosiak about that and a number of other topics, which we do have a lot to chat about today, I also have a brief conversation with Gio Gonzalez, who is now on the injured list. He is also a member of that starting rotation. Chatted with him on the last homestand before he went on the IL with some arm fatigue this week, one of many roster moves that the Brewers have made this week. And he presumably will be back in the mix shortly, but for the moment right now, sitting on the sideline. But he has been a great boon to the Brewers' rotation since coming back to the team. Late season acquisition in 2018. He started some games in the playoffs, and then he was back with the team after originally spending the preseason with the Yankees. He finally got an opportunity with the Brewers again when they needed some starting pitching assistance, and they got him from the Yankees minor league system, and he has been very good since returning to Milwaukee. So I wanted to check in with him, the guy that a lot of people are giving credit for sort of stabilizing this rotation, which looked really tough early on and has since become a strength of this team. With Gio, but several others. Brandon Woodruff has pitched very well. Zach Davies, another great outing on Sunday that helped the Brewers win 3 out of 4 against Pittsburgh. He has been on top of his game and possibly an all-star at this point, the way he's pitched this season. So we're going to chat about all of that with this guy right here, Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Todd, the Brewers are in first place. They had a good week. They finished 4-2 against the Twins and the Pirates. But the big story coming out of the weekend is what is to come this week. Brewers return home to Miller Park, and on Wednesday, we're gearing up for perhaps the most emotional game of the season thus far, with Jimmy Nelson finally back on the mound against the Marlins at Miller Park. This has been an arduous journey. You've chronicled a lot of it, and Tom Haudricourt has chronicled a lot of it. When we finally get to the point where the Brewers do promote Jimmy Nelson back to the big league team, what are some of the things you think fans can expect? I mean, that's got to be one of the crazier moments of the season awaiting us.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations to Jimmy. It's been a long road, 21 months getting back to this point. And, for a guy that's known for his work ethic and just how seriously he takes his job and his preparation, this has obviously been a long time coming. There's been a lot of hurdles and a lot of frustrating moments along the way, some stops and starts. But, you know, he's passed all the tests that have been set in front of him, and now he gets his big opportunity. So, is it realistic to expect this to be the Jimmy Nelson from 2017 when he was pitching so well before he got hurt right off the bat? Probably not. Could happen. But I think the major goal here is to, you know, get him pitching, get him acclimated, and allow him to, get used to pitching in major league games once again. And, you know, kind of go from there. The Brewers certainly are in a position where they would welcome, you know, old Jimmy Nelson. They'd be ecstatic if they could get him. So time will obviously tell in that regard, but just the end of a, you know, what's been a frustrating, you know, kind of tragic story, you know, guy in the prime of his career, the top of his career at that point, you know, getting hurt the way he did in such a frustrating manner, and just all the things that he's gone through to get to this point. So, you know, certainly there's going to be a lot of eyes turned to the game, and, you know, a lot of people pulling for him to do well. And, you know, knowing Brewers fans, they're going to give him a very warm welcome and be behind him every step of the way.
Yeah, I think on the intro I said 18 months. It's really been 20 months with the 2 months already gone this season. A long time coming to get to this point. And you mentioned that there's going to be an acclimation period getting him back into the groove of major league pitching. There's also then sort of that next question. If not to be a pessimist, but we don't know what Jimmy Nelson's going to be able to do. And surely there'll be, you know, there's early forgiveness if there's a couple starts that don't go well, but if this team, I mean, this team is still in the pennant race, which they will be, I don't know how long the leash could be. I don't know how much give they're going to give Jimmy Nelson to get back into the swing of things. Do you think it's a matter of 3 starts, 4 starts before they have to evaluate whether or not he can be a long-term solution? I know that's thinking, you know, very negatively, but what do you think the Brewers are, how the Brewers are approaching this?
I don't know. It's a good question. And you know, I certainly don't think if he goes out there and struggles once or twice, they're going to pull the plug on him. I think he deserves an opportunity to, you know, show the Brewers over the course of a period of starts that he's back or he's not back or whatever the case may be. So I think they're going to let him roll a little bit. And that of course is barring, you know, any sort of setback. If you, all of a sudden you get some soreness or something, or his elbow starts barking like it did in spring training, then obviously all bets are off. But, you know, the Brewers right now with Gio Gonzalez and Yolis Chacin down and on the injured list, they have a need. You know, they have a need for a starter. So this is his chance to step in and take advantage of it. And as I said before, I can't envision anybody else being as prepared or ready to go as Jimmy Nelson. So all he needs to do is get out there and start throwing, and we'll see what happens.
You alluded to the need now with injuries, or at least with Yolis Chacin and Gio Gonzalez both being placed on the injury list. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm not usually the injury conspiracy guy who thinks that injuries pop up quote unquote conveniently when you need when a guy is struggling or when you need to make a roster move. That Chacin back injury is as convenient as they come. Although back injuries are tricky, so if this, assuming it's legit, that's probably a pretty big concern for one of their more reliable pitchers last year, their most reliable pitcher last year. The moves that they still have to make are just as fascinating as the ones they've already had to make. Travis Shaw is going to be back, and to activate Jimmy Nelson, there's going to need to be something as well. I don't know if Keston Hira is still the obvious guy. I guess he probably is, but he batted cleanup for the Brewers on Sunday and is hitting the ball very well. When Travis Shaw comes back, when Jimmy Nelson gets promoted, what are the Brewers going to do here? I asked this question last week, but with an additional week of data, is there still a chance they do something other than send Keston Hira back to AAA?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a very closely watched move. And if the Brewers do wind up sending him back down, yeah, I would expect a chorus of angry boos from Brewers fans who liked what they've seen from him so far, at least from the plate. So, you know, that would be the easy move. It would be the convenient move. Just, you know, you send him down. He can only play second base, and you've got Shaw in the mix. You've got Moustakas in the mix. You know, you're trying to get Hernan Perez some at bats every now and again. So where does he fit in, and where does he get that regular playing time? I just don't see it. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess and say that Hira will be the one that goes down. But if Travis Shaw comes back and continues to struggle the way he did in the early going of the season, or he has a recurrence of that injury, you know, here is a no-brainer to bring back quickly. And you plug him back in and let him go. To me, the more interesting part of this equation is if Travis Shaw continues to struggle, what do you do? You know, if you're the Brewers, what happens there? You know, he does have minor league options available. You know, do you just all of a sudden do what you did with Arcia last year and just try to send him down for, you know, 3 weeks or something like that, and just, you know, give him a steady diet of at-bats every night, see if he can get it going at the plate, you know, work with the hitting coach down there, and then bring him back and try to rebuild his confidence that way. You know, I don't know necessarily that, you know, this shorter stint he's had in the minor leagues, although he's picked it up here lately, you know, is that enough? We'll see. But, you know, if nothing else, I think people can take from the Keston here experiment to this point that, you know, hey, this kid belongs, you know, and people have been clamoring to see him for a while now. And, you know, I think we've just kind of seen the surface being scratched with his potential. Defense is still iffy, still a question. We've seen that, you know, some shaky plays, some shaky throws, but again, that's just a matter of, I think, of reps and being in different situations and, you know, getting up to speed with the speed of the major league game. But at the plate, he certainly has been no shrinking violet and has had no problems fitting in there. And that's what everybody expected when they drafted him. And it's just crazy to think that really two years ago, almost to this day, was when the Brewers brought him into the fold. And now we're already looking at him as, you know, the answer at second base for probably many years to come.
Crazy night for him on Saturday. You mentioned his defensive struggles, his wild throw on a potential double play, kind of opened up the floodgates, had the Brewers had a 5-0 lead, and then quickly gave that lead back thanks in part to that miscue in the field. But then Hira also hits the 2-run homer in the ninth to send it to extras. Brewers wind up winning a wild 12-10 game, one of the more improbable wins you'll see, and Keston Hira was all over that one. As far as what they're going to do, I mean, I know there's still a possibility that Shaw could maybe move over to first base, but that would displace two first basemen that they're not ready to give up on, and Jesus Aguilar and Eric Thames, who, by the way, seems to be finding his swing a little bit. He had a big home run on Sunday. And I don't think you can just have Travis Shaw just show up at first base. And I mean, Travis Shaw's struggles are just as notable as those two guys. So it's really a tough situation there. And I agree with you. I think Keston here is going to be the guy who to go down. And I understand why that's going to frustrate people, but I still think that's got to be the play. Other guys who are a little bit dinged up right now, we've mentioned the starting pitchers, Gio Gonzalez and Yoli Chacin. I guess Gio's injury would be a little more concerning just because it sort of came out of nowhere and involves the arm, sort of a tired arm or sort of an uncomfortable feeling in the arm. It does look like Freddy Peralta is the other starting pitcher who's going to enter the rotation at this point. They would need him on Saturday. The Brewers do have a lot of off days, so they are somewhat protected in this regard, but Saturday would be the next time they need that spot. I'm guessing it's pretty simple, right? You don't think that there's any other machinations afoot, whether it be Aaron Wilkerson or Corbin Burns. It would seem like Freddie's the guy for that spot, right?
Yeah, Tom had mentioned, I had written in a story earlier today that, you know, Craig Counsell did say that it would be Freddie in that spot. So, you know, just kind of plug and play with him. And obviously the question always with Freddy Peralta is, can he get through the first inning? Can he get past those early game struggles? And usually after he gets into the game a little bit, he starts rolling and he pitches well. So, you know, at some point, they're going to have to figure that out with him. And, you know, he's still has the potential, still has the great arm, and certainly far too early to be giving up on him or being frustrated with him. He's a 22-year-old kid. And, you know, if you look at coming out of spring training, the three youngsters, quote unquote, that they had plugged in there, Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta, Corbin Burns, you know, aside from Woodruff, Burns and Peralta both have had some pretty good struggles this year. Peralta's been hurt for a little bit. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Freddie can get it going again and get on a little bit of a roll like he did last year. And certainly, you know, like I said before with Jimmy Nelson, the Brewers would welcome a solid start or a solid series of starts from Freddy Peralta, because they do have a need there right now.
Pretty notable how the club has committed to Freddy Peralta being on the big league team. Like you said, 22 years old. He's got options. It'd be pretty convenient to send him to AAA to work on whatever he needs to work on, but the stuff is just irresistible to, you know, at times, and he's been able to do enough to stay on the big league team, and even despite his youth, he has been a contributor. Let's go from the rotation to the bullpen. We didn't talk last week about Alex Claudio. We could have. He did have then another tough start here in that Twins series on Tuesday, where he entered a game and wound up giving up the go-ahead runs. Honestly, it seems like the bullpen's been doing still pretty fine, but it's notable that right-handers are hitting him very well. They're hitting, I think they have a 960-something OPS, which you would expect. That's Alex Claudio is definitely there to get left-handers out. He's still doing that. They're batting 188 with a 569 OPS, so it's not like he's struggling in that capacity, but it is becoming more and more difficult to pitch him against a right-handed batter. Do you sense any frustration with him that maybe they would consider going in another direction for their left-handed specialist, or because they committed some assets, it's going to be a pretty long leash for Alex Claudio?
Yeah, I would expect it to be a pretty long leash. And, you know, Craig Counsell has been adamant that Claudio has been good at getting left-handed hitters out, and certainly he has. You mentioned the numbers. So I think what they need to do is maybe shift gears a little bit with him. Whereas before, earlier in the season, Craig Counsell said, we want to get full innings out of Alex Claudio. We need him to get right-handed hitters out as well. Well, that's really proving that to not be the case. He's really not doing that on a consistent basis. So probably going to have to be a little bit more selective with Alex Claudio and the usage of him and just allowing him to face left-handed hitters. And that's what you saw today in the ninth inning against the Pirates. He came in and faced the one left-hander, and then Craig Counsell made the move. So until he gets a little bit more squared away, and I know he told Tom in Pittsburgh, this is that being Alex Claudio, that he made an adjustment, and it's allowed him to pitch a little bit better the last few times out. So get a little bit more track record to get that, allow him to work a little bit more on making and instituting that change, that tweak in his delivery. And, maybe you can go back to allowing him to face some right-handers. But I think for right now, probably the best move is just to continue to make him use him in that quote unquote loogie position, where he just comes in and gets, you know, one or two, got two left-handers out, faces them, and then he's out of the game. That's probably going to be the way to go here in the immediate future.
Yeah, Claudio did his job in that game. Then Adrian Hauser comes in for two innings, including worming out of a situation where the bases were loaded with Starling Marte, Josh Bell due up. He gets through both of those guys, gets Bell swinging for a strikeout on a nasty pitch. Adrian Hauser, man, he's this year's Brandon Woodruff, the guy who rides the train back and forth between AAA, but still manages to contribute at the big league level. His ERA is down to 3.26. And like I said, the bullpen's been pretty good overall. Jeffress ERA 3.38. Gira still at 2.90. Matt Albers, who got all pumped up on Saturday night, 3.96. And important to remember that league average ERA this year is really high. It's 4.41. Homers are leaving the park left and right. Unbelievable rate of home runs this year. And so it isn't unusual to see guys struggling. I feel like, Todd, the bullpen is a strength. I don't know if people even recognize how good the bullpen has been this season.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Early in the season, everybody was wringing their hands about the bullpen. Everybody was wringing their hands about the starting rotation. And baseball, as we all know, it's a roller coaster, and you can have one unit going like gangbusters, and then a week later, just ice cold. So, as you mentioned, you ticked off a number of guys on that list there, and for the most part, the Brewers are getting good performances out of those guys and getting solid work out of their bullpen. Obviously moving forward, with the Brewers in first place, we're in the month of June now. End of July is obviously the trading deadline. So now, people are going to start talking about, well, we need an addition here, we need an addition there. And I would expect those sorts of things to start heating up a little bit. And as we all know, any team in contention is always looking to bolster its bullpen with some moves. And, the Brewers did that last year at the trading deadline. So, it's going to be interesting to see moving forward what if they continue to get the performances that they are, or if they feel like, hey, we need to make a couple moves, whatever the case may be. But to this point, they're holding the fort, and Josh Hader's doing a pretty good job at the back end there. I think the biggest thing has been getting Jeremy Jeffress back to being close to what he was last year. I don't think anybody expected him to, you know, pitch just absolutely dominantly like he did last year in making the All-Star game. But his velo is back. He's getting some of his swagger back on the mound there. We all saw that matrix move that he had up in Minnesota last Monday, which is incredible. He was spared calamity there on the mound on that shot right at his head. Getting him back and being able to plug him in different situations, it's another experienced guy, another good arm for Craig Counsell. So just, moving forward, I would think the Brewers would like to see this continue and see these guys continue clicking it off and recording outs and being those out-getters, as Craig Counsell likes to call them.
If you're looking for a leader in the clubhouse for defensive play of the year, you probably still give it to Lorenzo Cain's catch to cap off opening day, save a home run. But the catch by Jeremy Jeffress in that Twin Series, that insane liner right back to his head, you're just glad he's not dead, having been, he could have very easily been hit in the head. But a crazy moment, crazy play by Jeffress. And like you said, we're starting to see some promising signs. Speaking of promising signs, Orlando Arcia has been on a tear, hit two home runs on Saturday. He wound up getting another hit on Sunday. He's been doing what he does in the field pretty regularly. He's made some slick plays across the board. And we're trending toward, with him, a career high in OPS. He's batting .262. He's got six homers this year after hitting just three all of last year. I know he kind of came to life in the postseason. His on-base percentage is way up. This is one of the biggest stories of the year, because I know a lot of people thought if they could get Arcia going, their lineup would be just unstoppable. They've had some struggles in other parts of the lineup, but Orlando Arcia, if he's a league average hitter, that's a major, major win because of how well he plays defense. What is it that has enabled him to get out of what really was kind of a multi-year slump for him?
Yeah, I actually had this conversation with Craig Counsell in Minnesota last Tuesday, and it's Craig Counsell believes that it's just a matter of a guy, basically just getting tired, sick and tired of swinging at the same stuff and getting himself out time after time after time after time. And for Arcia, it was swinging at those pitches low and outside. Pitchers knew that they could throw that pitch repeatedly, and Arcia was going to more often than not swing at it. And he's finally instituted some plate discipline, and he's swinging more consistently at strikes. And he's forcing pitchers to throw him strikes, and we see the net result of that, which is a guy who's hitting well. He's hitting well in tough situations. He's delivering huge hits late in games, driving in huge runs late in games, and all of a sudden he goes from a guy last year at this time who had absolutely zero confidence and had already been sent down to the minor leagues, albeit for a short time that first time, to a guy who seems like he's almost oozing confidence again now at the bottom of that lineup, and doing his job and picking up the guys around him. So, as you mentioned, that lineup is very solid top to bottom. And when you have your number eight hitter doing the job that he's doing and helping turn over the lineup, that cannot be understated. So, it's congratulations to him for just doing his job and not getting down when things were at their absolute worst. And, he went through a little bit of a dry spell earlier this season, but for the most part, he really has been able to carry over those last 6 weeks of last year, where he was one of the team's best hitters, including in the playoffs. He has been able to carry that over to this season. And, his, I think some people were already giving up on him and saying he was overrated, and maybe the Brewers need to look elsewhere at shortstop. Well, I think those talks have simmered down quite a bit, and he's again starting to show that promise that everybody thought he had, both at the plate and in the field.
Did make some trips to the minors last year, but they just the glove was always so good. You hear about guys taking their struggles on offense into the field with them, and it did not happen with him. And that's part of the reason why he was able to get more opportunities, and he finally finds his way out. Thanks He gets the chance thanks to his glove, but then he finally gets his bat to come around. Big, big situation for the Brewers. The Major League Baseball draft is upon us. It's going to be starting off on Monday. The Brewers aren't going to be too active in the early rounds because of a couple, the signing of Alex Claudio, or the trade for Alex Claudio, the signing of Yasmani Grandal, not getting a couple picks off the ledger, but the Brewers will have a first round pick. You did a story on one of last year's draft selections, Drew Rasmussen, earlier in the week. It's actually, this 2018 class is pretty exciting, actually, between Bryce Terang, who's at Wisconsin, their number one pick, and having a very good year. Drew Rasmussen, who I'll have you talk about in a second, plus Aaron Ashby, a couple other guys that are pretty promising. Justin Jarvis has struggled a little bit, but is a promising young talent who's already at Wisconsin. So it's looking pretty promising for this last draft class. But tell me what you learned about Drew Rasmussen. He's an interesting story and a very unique background, and he could be a real sleeper for the Brewers.
Yeah, it's, you know, as I talked about in the story, a guy who played at a very high-level school, Oregon State, you know, had two Tommy John surgeries. He was the Tampa Bay Rays first pick in 2017, and it was discovered during his physical after he was drafted that he had torn his UCL again and had to have that repaired. And very interesting, he wound up having to basically put himself through school his senior year and work for his future father-in-law at his company doing doing landscaping, which he did not. You know, he did it. It was a great learning experience, but it also showed him that professional athlete sounded a little bit more better to him than being a landscaper. And that's no knock on landscapers. He just said it was very hard work. So, you know, now with the Brewers, he's jumped. He's already at his third level in the minor leagues this season. Class AA Biloxi at this point and pitching well. And he profiles, I think most scouts are looking at him as a guy with the high velo that he had, that he throws with, as a potential high leverage guy out of the bullpen in the near future for the Brewers. And we'll see about that. The Brewers always give their guys, their minor leaguers, an opportunity to show that they can't start before they move them to the bullpen. You know, a case that we could look at in that regard would be Devin Williams, the Brewers' top pick in 2013, who he had a Tommy John as well. You know, he started for many years in the minor leagues. It just hasn't worked out. So now he's pitching in relief at Biloxi and actually doing okay. So, you know, in the case of Rasmussen, he's also a little bit older. So you take that all and put it all together, and he could really be a fast mover. I've seen some people suggesting that maybe we see him in the major leagues late this season. I don't know about that. I think that's probably pushing it a little bit, but you know, if he continues to stay healthy and continues to pitch the way he has been, I think next year could be a real possibility, because as we all know, velo out of the bullpen is a very valuable asset. And if he can come up here and get guys out, I mean, could you imagine you know, Corey Knable coming back and being healthy? All of a sudden you've got Hader, Knable, and Rasmussen, who's thrown 100 miles an hour in the past. That's pretty nice. And then you know, who knows about Jeremy Jeffress? So it's just, you know, you can never have enough arms, you can never have enough velo coming out of the bullpen. So this is definitely a guy that has been moving up the Brewers prospect list, and definitely a guy that bears watching here in the immediate future.
Brewers already had one of the, I believe, the first big leaguer out of the 2017 draft class with Keston Hira's arrival, and maybe they'll beat the rush to the 2018 class as well if Drew Rasmussen can get to the big leagues this year or early next, like you suggest, could be a possibility. This is Todd Rosiak. He is the Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Brewers. Read everything he has on your Milwaukee Brewers at jsonline.com or in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks for joining us, Todd. We will catch you again very soon.
Have a great week, JR.
Thanks to Todd for chatting. Now moving to my interview with Gio Gonzalez, Brewers starting pitcher, who, of course, was part of the 2018 playoff run. He came on board in September and ended up being on the playoff roster. He then was with the Yankees in the preseason. The Brewers did not initially re-sign him, but after some starting pitching woes early in the season, they did go back to that well, and Gio Gonzalez became a Brewer again, and he really, really hit the ground running. He was great out of the gate, and fortunately sort of seemed to be part of a turnaround for this starting rotation, where they were able to level out pretty well, and guys like Zach Davies and Brandon Woodruff have pitched so well. Chase Anderson has had some spot starts and done okay. Yoli Chacin has struggled a little bit. We talked obviously just about him with Todd, but the Brewers rotation is much better for having Gio on board, even though he is now on the injured list. Again, this conversation took place on the last homestand before he got hurt, so we didn't ask about that, but we did talk about his return, talked about his work with Mike Maddux, former Brewers pitching coach, a little bit, talked about his 21-win season with Washington Nationals back in 2012 when he was actually finished third in the Cy Young voting. That was a tremendous year for him. He's had some pretty good years, and this is he's not as good as he was in his prime, certainly, but he's not the guy that's going to go 7-8 innings a start, but he has been very valuable to the Brewers this season. So here he is, Gio Gonzalez, starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. My guest is Gio Gonzalez, starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. As many people know, Gio rejoined the team after spending part of 2018 on the team. Kind of curious how everything went this offseason for you, for starters, if you kind of kept in touch with some of the people in the Brewers front office. And you obviously went to the Yankees, were in the minor leagues there briefly. How did the communication keep up between 2018 and now and where you are now?
I think it was just it was a weird journey. Definitely, I wish it would have happened a little sooner, where I could have been in spring training with Milwaukee ahead of time. But again, what the Yankees did to me was an absolutely huge favor by putting me in an organization to get my spring training in a little bit, at least a week left in the spring training.
Right.
And then they gave me a chance to throw a couple innings down in the minor leagues. So Brian Cashman, I couldn't thank him more than ever what he did for me and gave me an opportunity to come back and play in the big leagues.
I feel like for as highly regarded a prospect as you were, you kind of got traded a lot in the minor leagues. Did you feel like you were a hot potato a little bit? I mean, you're obviously a desired commodity, I guess you could look at it. But how did you feel going through your minor leagues, your upbringing, getting to so many different organizations?
I don't think I was a hot commodity. I think the people that I was being traded for were a hot
commodity. Yes, I guess you could look at it that way too.
You got a couple Hall of Famers, as yep. my opinion, where you got Nick Swisher, Jim sure. Thome, and Freddie Garcia. So I think they were the bigger fish to yeah. get the bait for. So I was just the bait hanging for the big fish. So, but I never took it personal. I always took it was a compliment to know that these were the people they needed to get those big fish. So that's always, to me, I'll always be appreciative, like, for the organization that had me and took the opportunity to let me play in the big leagues.
I just saw you hit a home run in batting practice, and you did.
Fluke.
Yeah, it was a fluke, yeah. But you've done that. You did homer 3 straight years in your career. You feel like you still got that
eyes
in you?
Eyes closed, swing out of your shoes, just no clue where it's going.
You don't feel like you could do it again since
no,
it's done before.
No, I leave that to the actual hitters, especially in the rotation. We got some guys who can swing back, so
yeah.
I stay in my lane. If I got a bunt, I'll try to bunt.
So I think it's 2012. You win 21 games, third in the Cy Young voting, I believe. Did that standard of 20 wins maybe doesn't mean as much as it did before, the way that we've looked at the game analytically, but what did it mean to you then, or what does it mean to you now to know that you have a 21-win ledger at one point in your career?
You could take it however you want, but 21 wins, that's
crazy.
Big milestone, especially how you're saying baseball's evolved and changed recently.
Yeah.
But, the guys that are getting up to 15, 16 wins, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just to get couple wins in the big leagues is still unbelievable. it's not easy, especially with the way guys swinging a bat right now, and you got guys that are pitching, Cy Young numbers. It's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, and guys, like you said, like you're saying, guys don't even go 5 innings sometimes, 6
exactly.
innings anymore, so it's hard to do that. One of the things, mechanically, it seems like your arm slot is perfect for it, and that's why you seem to have 4 pitches that kind of baffle hitters, for lack of a better way of saying it. Is that something that's come naturally to you, or is that something you worked on a lot in your younger days? How did that work for you?
In my younger days, I had a little more giddy up with my fastball, a little more, a little more break to my breaking ball, a little more velo to it. But
yeah.
Now I have to actually hit my spots, learn how to pitch, and I was learning that immediately in 2017. Kind of, had to make adjustments in 18, and then
yeah.
Doing it again in 19. It's just your pitching. Obviously we all love to throw 95 and every now and then get away with a fastball down the middle at 97, but unfortunately I don't have that luxury. I have to go out there and pitch, and that's the beauty thing. I'm using the brain more than just the arms.
Sure.
So trying to put both of them together is fun for me.
2017, you have maybe your best outing. I don't know how you look at it, but against the Marlins, taking a no-hitter into the ninth. It's Jose Fernandez's 25th birthday. I know a lot's been written about it. Is that your best outing? Is that the one you think about?
I think it's a very memorable outing because it was shared with a lot of emotion from both sides of the clubhouse, from the Marlins to the Nationals. And it was just an emotional day. I think that's how we can best put that. It's a memorable feeling because we all understood the loss we had. And, you know, just having guys that play with him and guys that know him personally, it was just, you know, it felt like just all of us having fun like kids. You know, I think the last moment of everyone just in awe, it was just a game for all of us. We were all clapping for each other. It's just one of those games that you can you treasure the most because it was a personal emotional feeling.
You've worked a little with Mike Maddux. He was the pitching coach in Milwaukee for a while. What was your experiences with him? I know a lot of people still like him here.
I absolutely loved him. I thought he was fantastic. I loved the way he approached it. I mean, same thing with DJ that was here when I had a chance to work with him. You know, Hookie's doing a great job, you know, getting a feel for all of us. But, Mike was unbelievable. I had such a great time with him. I love that it was always a confidence builder every time talking to him. He always had some kind of game plan or approach during a game in bullpens. That to me was what I'll always treasure for what he did. And, you know, I've had some pretty cool pitching coaches, you know, in my career. You know, Steve McCaddy, you know, I had some guys that kind of, you know, helped out, tune me up a little bit, you know, Kurt Young, all that stuff. But it was great to have all these memories with such great guys.
So I don't know if this is true, but I've read that you're a comic book guy.
Huge.
And I know that a lot of the Brewers got to see, I'm assuming you're among them, Avengers Endgame.
Absolutely.
Are you happy with how the whole series wrapped up?
It's an emotional series. I mean, can you imagine you've seen over 10 years of what they built it up to be and see how it ended? I think it was absolutely tailor-made, beautiful.
Yeah.
The way it's scripted, the way it was, it continues to wow. It continues to wow, you know, fans. And it's a movie you can watch over and over and over and still be impressed of, like, how they finished that.
Yeah. Last random thing. I think I read you once cut your hair twice a week. Is that still something you do?
Unfortunately, now, you know, Mama runs the show a little bit. My wife does.
Sure.
I don't have a saying anymore how I want to look. So when I shaved, it didn't look good. When I grew my hair out, I'm lucky. I'm married right now with two kids. I'm very lucky. So I think that's just what it is. She runs the ship now, as far as I can every now and then put in two words, but she's the commander-in-chief.
That's all she wrote today for the Milwaukee Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. Remember, make a $300,000 summer cash splash at Pottawatomie. Play with your club card this June. Then Wednesdays, you can win prizes starting at $1,000. There's more, a lot more, at paysbig.com/cash splash. Thank you to Todd Rosiak and to Gio Gonzalez for joining me. The Brewers are back in town, they're back in town now, but they will be back at Miller Park on Tuesday to open up a 3-game series with the Miami Marlins before the Pirates once again return to town for a weekend series. It's going to be a fun one on Wednesday when Jimmy Nelson is back on the mound. Hopefully you get a chance to take that in either in person or at home. It should be one of the more memorable games of this Milwaukee Brewers season. Thanks again for joining us. Again, you can find me on Twitter at @JRRADCLIFFE, JR Radcliffe. Let me know what you think, or just leave feedback at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. Also the place where you can get your weekly dose of the Milwaukee Brewers Journal Sentinel podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.